Tonight I'm going to talk about innocence. And innocence as a positive quality. We often conventionally, innocence and experience are set as opposites. And the thought is that as you gain more experience, you just lose innocence. And it's a zero-sum game. But really, innocence is something powerful in and of itself, something that complements experience and doesn't oppose it. And so why am I talking about this? Well, I mean, first of all, it's the holiday season, and there is kind of a thread of innocence that runs through the stories of Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. But it's something a little more specific. Tomorrow, December 8th, is an odd day in some ways. It's a confluence of three very different things. In some forms of Buddhism, it is the anniversary of the Buddha's enlightenment. It is also the anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon. In fact, it will be 40 years tomorrow. And also in Christianity, it's this really odd feast, a feast recognized only by the Roman Catholic Church, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And even that term is given to tremendous misunderstanding. A lot of people haven't heard of the term, but most people who have heard of the term believe that the Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary, that Jesus was the result of the Immaculate Conception. And that is not true. The actual Catholic understanding is that the Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of Mary in the womb of her mother, Anne. And the Catholic teaching, the Roman Catholic teaching on this is that Mary was conceived without original sin, and therefore she was worthy to bring forth, to be the mother of God, to bring forth God into the world in the person of Jesus. No other strand of Christianity has this belief. It's unique to the Roman Church. And what's interesting is that there's a powerful analogy to Islam, because, how can I say this? In Christianity, Jesus himself is the Word of God. Jesus himself is the incarnational presence of the sacred in the world. In Islam, the Quran is the Word of God. The Quran is the incarnational presence of the sacred in the world. And therefore, Muhammad's illiteracy is analogous to Mary's virginity. Mary was a virgin, therefore she was able to bring forth a child without the influence of any other man. Muhammad was illiterate. And therefore, when the angel said, write, and he started writing and he produced this book, he was able to bring forth a book that didn't bear the influence of any other book because he didn't know how to read. And so I'm sharing this because I'm intrigued by this notion of being a pure vessel of the word, being, as it were, a vessel that allows for the presence of the sacred in the world. I myself believe that all religions are true. I'm not going to ask anyone else to believe the Christian story or the Muslim story. But what is it about us that allows that we're that contact with the sacred? And in many ways, I think this is innocence, this quality of innocence. And so what is innocence? There's many ways to talk about it. One way to talk about it has to do with our brains. And this is something I've talked about a little before in other Dharma talks. The human brain has two different, very different kinds of circuits, and they're informally called bottom-up circuits and top-down circuits. Bottom-up circuits go from perceptual centers to memory centers. Top-down go from memory centers to perceptual centers. And so if I'm learning something, if I'm seeing something for the first time and learning it, I'm figuring it out, well, then I'm in my bottom-up circuits. I'm seeing it, and I'm trying to encode it. I'm trying to learn it or match it to something that I understand. When I recognize something, I'm in my top-down circuits. I recognize, oh, that's this, and I remember it. And in some ways, I'm seeing, as it were, through my memory. My experience of my memory is actually more powerful than my experience of perception in that moment. Now, little kids are in their bottom-up circuits all the time. Little kids are always exploring. And when you're in your bottom-up circuits, that's an experience of novelty. And novelty by itself is exciting and engaging, you know? And that's part of what contributes to the magic of childhood. You know, the kid is looking around and everything is new. As we learn, we default to using our top-down circuits more because they're efficient. In other words, we don't want to have to refigure out every time what a fork is. You know, we want to be able to pick up a fork and use it. You know, that's much more efficient than every time picking it up and figuring out from scratch what it is. But the trouble is, if we live in our top-down circuits 100% of the time, which most adults do, then we walk around in a world that is simply known, 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 known. Everything is known. There's no novelty. And everything is flat, dull, and lifeless. And so part of the trick of mindfulness is to re-engage bottom-up circuits. You know, yes, I already know what a fork looks like. Yes, I already know what a stapler looks like. But what does it look like if I really stop and look at it as if for the first time? That's what mindfulness is. And when I start doing that, I'm re-engaging my bottom-up circuits. And in re-engaging my bottom-up circuits, then I'm creating an experience of novelty. Then I'm creating more sort of an emotionally rewarding experience of the world. And so one quality of innocence is simply that quality of, you might say, it's engaging the bottom-up circuits, as it were. It is looking at the world as if it is new, looking at the world as if for the first time. And there's a quality in that of wonder, of just open-ended wonder. It's funny. I think so many times with that word, you know, the strategic mind gets into this, I wonder why, and then it wants a story or it wants an explanation, as opposed to be in a state of wonder where there's nothing that you're wondering. It's just an open state of being in wonder, an openness to the magic of the world. The word innocence comes from the Latin in, which is opposite, and knock or nox, which means poison. We also have the English word noxious, like a noxious gas from the same word. And so it is without poison, it is without danger, without harm. That is the core meaning of the word innocence. And what is it to look at the world without expecting harm? What is it to look at others without expecting harm? You know? And I'll say here, once again, innocence doesn't mean abandoning our experience. Doesn't mean we have to throw away our experience. Our experience also has its value, you know? But of course, innocence in some way gives us perspective on our experience, you know? Does my experience tell me, you know, never trust anyone again, you know, or, you know, that kind of thing, versus does my experience tell me something more nuanced where maybe not this, but this is okay, you know, that kind of thing. What is it to look at others, especially others that we know well, our intimate others? What does it mean to look at our intimate others as if for the first time? You know, to see them in their innocence. And part of that means being able to see them with a certain degree of equanimity, a certain degree of disattachment, you know, not what I want from this person, not my narrative about this person or my narrative about what's wrong with that person or any of that. You know, what if I could just see them as they are, see them, you know, as Buddhism would say, in their suchness. So at this point, I'm going to share the quote sheet. The top quote is from the Tao Te Ching, the classic Taoist work by Lao Tzu. She who holds the great symbol will attract all things to her. They flock to her and receive no harm, for in her they find peace, security, and happiness. And this profound mystery, innocence is magnetic, you know? And fear is also magnetic in a way. If we spend all our time in fear, we tend to manifest the things that we're fearing, you know? If we spend our time in innocence, we tend to attract a much more wonderful experience toward ourselves. Now, a powerful quote from the Christian Bible, from the Gospel of St. Luke. Now the people were bringing even little children to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him, saying, "Let the children come unto me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of heaven like a child shall not enter it." A very, very powerful quote there, that in some sense, our innocence is exactly what allows us to apprehend the sacred in the world. From Mencius, the number two guy in the Confucius tradition, his quote, "The great is the man who has not lost his childlike heart." I often have that quote. It applies to many themes. From Horace, the incredibly wise Roman poet, "Mix a little foolishness with your prudence. It's good to be silly at the right moment." William Blake said, "Then cherish pity, lest you drive an angel from your door." Thoreau said, "Through our own recovered innocence, we discern the innocence of our neighbors." Edward Council says, "Innocence tinctures all things with brightest hues." Einstein said, "The pursuit of truth and beauty is a sphere of activity in which we are permitted to remain children all our lives." Pablo Picasso said quite simply, "It takes a very long time to become young." Krishnamurti said, "To understand truth, one must have a very sharp, precise, clear mind, not a cunning mind, but a mind that is capable of looking without any distortion, a mind innocent and vulnerable." Timothy Leary said quite simply, "You're only as young as the last time you change your mind." Flannery O'Connor said, "It is better to be young in your failures than old in your successes." Eartha Kitt said, "Innocence is one of the most exciting things in the world." Yogi Bhajan said, "Our purity lies in our originality. Our intuition lies in our innocence." Cynthia Heimel said, "When in doubt, make a fool of yourself. There is a microscopically thin line between being brilliantly creative and acting like the most gigantic idiot on earth. So what the hell? Leap." I love that quote. Abarjani says, "You are born a child of light's wonderful secret. You return to the beauty you have always been." a couple from Michael Jackson. He said, in their innocence, young children know themselves to be light and love. If we allow them, they can teach us to see ourselves that way. He also said, and that's what innocence is. It's simple and trusting like a child, not judgmental and committed to a narrow point of view. If you are locked into a pattern of thinking and responding, your creativity gets blocked. You miss the freshness and magic of the moment. Learn to be innocent again, and that freshness never fades. Sean Penn said, we've let the blade of our innocence dull over time, and it's only in innocence that you find any kind of magic, any kind of courage. And this whole idea that there's a deep form of courage that comes from being in touch with innocence. Alejandro Gonzalez said, innocence can be more powerful than experience. And really, the two have a powerful yin-yang relationship. Patrick Rusva said, when we are children, we seldom think of the future. This innocence leaves us free to enjoy ourselves as few adults can. The day we fret about the future is the day we leave our childhood behind. And there's something very powerful there. The whole Buddhist teaching of remaining in this present moment itself brings a kind of innocence. Chris Yami says, there's nothing more contagious than the laughter of young children. It doesn't even matter what they're laughing about. Saurabh Sharma says, I respect all the innocent souls because they are kind enough to forgive the selfish people around them. Jay Woodman said, we are angels, just like the rest of our brothers and sisters. And Mark and Angel Chernoff say, don't start your day with the broken pieces of yesterday. Begin again. Every morning we wake up is the first day of the rest of our lives.